I know that a lot of people think that this is Valentine's. I'm supposed to preach a message on Valentine's. I'm not. But I will tell you this. I'm going to be talking about peace. And I will tell you that if you have a significant other in your life, whether it is a girlfriend or boyfriend or a husband or a fiance or whatever, or a wife or whatever, and you don't show any love today, you might not have any love, but you also won't have any peace. Understand that. So when I talk to you about peace today, I've realized that there must be a number of people who are really looking for peace and trying to find it in our lives. Yeah. Thank you, DJ, for getting that up there. And you can write Bill Gates for me. Anyway, so there are a number of people that are looking for peace and need peace, but I don't believe that we really know what peace is. I don't think we know much more about peace than we know about love, tell you the truth. I'm listening to a lot of love songs. You know, they come on the radio and stuff while you've got Valentine's, and I just don't know if they understand it very much. So we have thought that we know what peace is, like we know what love is. And I think that a lot of people think that peace is being perfectly secure. They believe that if I can get to the spot where I am perfectly secure, I'll have peace. Let me tell you what that really is. When you think that you have come to a place that you are perfectly secure because you have secured the things all around you, you are standing on the edge of disaster, because at any moment something can happen that can take that kind of peace away. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this about peace. He said, "There is no way to peace along the way of safety, for peace must be dared. It is itself the great venture and can never be safe. Peace is the opposite of security. To demand guarantees is to want to protect oneself. Peace means giving oneself completely to God's commandment, wanting no security, but in faith and obedience, laying the destiny of the nations in the hands of an almighty God. Not trying to direct it for selfish purposes. Battles are won not with weapons, but with God. They are won when the way leads to the cross." Take this home with you. Take these words that have been said by this relatively young man, 39 years of age when he was executed by Hitler. Take these words home with you, because this is in reality the way to have peace, not by having the security that this world says that it is. Let me restate this in my words then. Peace can only be found in the presence of God. God is dangerous. You hear this, folks. God is dangerous. He takes his people through the valley of the shadow of death rather than detouring around it. You're going to have peace. It's not going to be because you're going to be perfectly safe all the time. It is not going to be because there aren't going to be instances in your life that you're going to say, "Well, you know what? That's not something that I really wanted to happen to me today." There's going to be things that are going to happen that you would wish they wouldn't happen, but you're still going to be able to have peace, because man-made peace is a farce. Man-made peace believes that we can get enough information to protect ourselves. We can get enough weapons to protect ourselves. That it believes that we can keep the evil locked on the outside. So what do? We watch our 24-hour-a-day news media. In order to do what? Protect us from our politicians. Protect us from our weather. Protect us from our economy. Protect us from our diseases. We buy our guns and we store them up in order to have some sort of peace. We have security systems in which we lock ourselves inside of our homes, hoping nothing can come in and get us. Now, nothing's wrong with those things on the surface. Understand, I'm not an anti-gun person. I'm not an anti-news person. I'm certainly not an anti-security person. But what I'm trying to say to you is that is not where you will find your peace. Those things will just simply be things that you use to protect yourself, not to find your peace. So what does the Apostle Peter say about peace. He says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, "For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." He's talking about peace here. And he says there are several elements in, if we're going to have peace, these are the elements that we need to have. They are not hidden in this scripture, but they are there for those who want to really find them. He says peace requires a desire to love life. See, there are people who do not love life. In fact, there are some people that just want to die. I've met some of those people. I've especially met those people that just want to die. Maybe their circumstances are such that they just want to die. I mean, everything has gone wrong. Everything that they have, all of their future that they had planned for in their lives, it hasn't turned out the way that they want it to turn out. And therefore, they just say, I just want to die. I've seen people who, when their spouse passes away, they'll just die. I've done funerals within weeks of each other when the other spouse, the healthy spouse, wasn't even sick. And I'm doing the funeral in a few weeks later for the person because they just don't want to live anymore. They don't want to live anymore because that person that they called their spouse was their purpose in life. You see, you've got to have purpose in order to have life. And there is purpose in life. You know, a life without purpose has very little to do with accomplishment, but it has a whole lot to do with living. I mean, look at Jesus. Let's look at the accomplishments in his life. Did you know he never really traveled any further than Egypt? He never wrote a book. He never made billions of dollars. He never pastored a megachurch. He didn't have millions who even knew his name at his death. And yet, did his life have purpose? Was there a purpose that gave him real life, that life that was greater than any other life that we have ever known? Because why? Because I can tell you why. Because his purpose stood out and purpose stands out. That's what happens when we have a compelling purpose in our lives. He stood up to those religious people that everybody would have said, "No, Jesus, that's not the people you need to jump on. You need to jump on those tax collectors and those people." Everybody hates the tax collectors, even today. Everybody hates the tax collectors. But his purpose always placed him in his Father's hands. And his purpose was so great, you realize that he would not deviate from it. And because he wouldn't deviate from it, they killed him for it. But it didn't matter because he had life in his purpose. Very few people have the peace that comes from having a purpose they would die for. Most people that call themselves Christians don't care enough to die for their faith. If we were to put people in, you know, as I was reading about the Korean pastors in Korea when the communists came in for World War II, and how they would try to get them to recant their faith. They were trying to get them to say that, you know, that they would either try to get them to say something about a Buddhist faith, or they would try to do something where they would try to get rid of their faith altogether. And they would torture these people. They even killed some of them. And I read these stories in a little book called Christ of the Korean Heart. It's not in print, but it might not be in print. It might be in print. I don't know. But I bought it as a used book. Somebody gave it to me and I read their part and then I bought my own copy. But the thing about it is that what I noticed about these pastors, these people who were standing up for their faith is that they had life. They loved life. They loved life so much that they had such a purpose in their life that they were willing to give up this life for the eternal life. This is the life that they had. And I saw these stories, each story, and you could see in those stories and the testimonies of the people, they were at peace. They weren't worried that their life was going to be taken away from them. They weren't worried that they were going to be tortured. They weren't worried that they were going to be poor. They weren't worried about anything. They were at real peace. And they would not recant on their faith. And you know why? Because when you give up your purpose, you give up your life. That's what happens. When you give up your purpose and it doesn't stand for anything, then you have given up your life. And you'll have no life. You may live, but you'll have no life. But if you love life, you hold on to being placed in your Father's hands. And you won't let anything get you out of that. Then he says, peace requires a desire to see good days. See, whether days are good or bad, or I'm going to go back to this. Now, it sounds like I got a one-trick pony here, but in reality, it has to go back to it. Whether we have a good day or not depends on whether or not we're following through with our purpose. If we're not following through with our purpose, we have some bad days. And tell you the truth, folks, I have some bad days. Some days I go back to the same old thing that the world tells me that is going to make me, you know, have good days. And the world says that I'm going to have good days. I'm going to have physical pleasure. I'm going to have lots of money. And I'm going to have people just bow down to me. Or at least they're going to know my name. And I'm going to be famous or whatever those kinds of things that people want in their lives. I want those kinds of things too. And I get off of that. And I get off target sometimes. But I know that in reality, the Bible doesn't tell me that those things are valuable. You know what the Bible tells me is valuable? Forgiveness, for one thing. Forgiveness is absolutely valuable for her. I need to be forgiven, and not just once, but for many, 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 many times. I'll tell you what the Bible tells me is important: eternal life. You know, not simply that I'm going to live after I'm dead. I'm talking about living right now. And the Bible tells me that having myself in God's hands is important, having a purpose for my life. And so every day I can have that forgiveness. I can have good days. I can have that eternal life, really live life. I can have God's purpose. Isn't it interesting, though, that really what our purpose is to possess forgiveness and eternal life and a purpose? And you know what our purpose is in that is? Our purpose is to then go to other people. And you know what we want them to do? Our purpose is to give them, to let them know that there's forgiveness and eternal life and purpose in life. Isn't that strange? That what we have is something that we must give away. And our purpose is to give away what we've got. That's reality and what it is. And so I see sometimes that when people are chasing, sometimes they may call it the American dream or whatever they might want to call it, but they chase that. I want to have more physical pleasure. I want to have more money. I want to have more. And I find that their lives defeated, and people live defeated lives because they believe the lies of this world. Last year, you know, if you know that in February, I pick a topic, one of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, you know, and go on. Last year, I preached on joy. I'm on peace now. You understand that? And I'll tell you something about joy. See, there is no joy without victory. There's absolutely no joy without victory. And a lot of people are walking around and they're not having any victory. And you know why they're not having any victory? Because they're going after what the world has told them is victory. And so I'm going to tell you something. You can't get enough physical pleasure and have victory. You can't get enough money and have victory. You can't have, I mean, you know, I've heard people say, if I only made this much money, I would be absolutely happy. You know, I asked them about that. I said, 20 years ago, you said that. Now you're making that much money. Are you that happy? And the answer is no. There's never going to be enough of that in order to have joy. But there is no joy without victory. But here's the second part I need to tell you. There is no peace without surrender. Hear that. We surrender our lives over to the Lord. We go into His hands. And we have His peace. Now, I've got to straighten something out here. I think that sometimes we think that peace is comfortable. Did you know peace is not necessarily comfortable? Because when I put myself in the Lord's hands, He does something that I don't like. I mean, I know it's not a four-letter word, but it ought to be. It's called change. See, change is rarely comfortable. It is rarely comfortable in which he wants me to grow. He challenges me. He doesn't come in here and say, I'm going to keep you in your comfort zone forever because that's peace. No, what he does is, as Bonhoeffer said, he dares you. He brings you into this place where you say, well, you know what? I'm going to keep my focus on the Lord, because if I don't, I'm going to start focusing on these things that I don't really like around me. And he makes me commit more than I ever wanted to commit. He wants me to grow more than I ever really want to grow myself. He wants me to change more than I will ever change on my own. The average Christian doesn't want to change. The average Christian wants to keep everything the same and still be able to call themselves Christians and still wants to grow. But that to me is like saying, you know what? I want to lose weight, but I don't want to do anything about it. And so they sell pills on TV so that you can lose weight. I will tell you, folks, if you buy those pills, they can't be good for you if they really work. Anything that'll make you lose 25 pounds just in a pill can't be good for you. And in reality, if you think that you're going to be able to grow in the Lord and not be challenged and not be changed, you're never going to be that way. And so what you do is you seek these good days. And the good day is when I'm closer to the Lord. A good day is when I'm challenged. And a good day is when I'm at peace with that. And then he says that peace requires that I watch what I say. There's nothing surprising about that, is there? I mean, because I have gotten myself in more trouble by what I have said than anything else that I think that I have ever done. I have said things that, I mean, I'm not talking about when I say something and I'm saying it on the behalf of the Lord and it might, you know, somebody might get upset with me. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when I say something that upsets somebody just because I'm a jerk. I'm just absolutely a jerk, and I cannot unsay anything. The scripture, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28 says, it says, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lip, he is deemed intelligent. I can tell you, I've looked like a fool many, many times. And I'll bet that in this room, that there are many people who have been hurt much worse by words than they have ever been hurt physically. Somebody has crushed them. You know what I say? I say sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will crush my heart. In reality, that's the way that it really is. And when you say those things, you can't unsay them. You can't go back and say, well, I misspoke, because they know the difference between that. In the moment of your anger or your frustration or whatever it was, you just simply have to come back to them afterwards and say, you know what? I was wrong. I wished I hadn't said those words. Will you forgive me? Please forgive me for it. And then what do? They give you what? They give you that thing called forgiveness, because what is our purpose in our lives is to be forgiven, to have eternal life, and to have a purpose in our lives. And they give you that because forgiveness is always a gift of grace. You will never, ever earn forgiveness for what you've said to anybody. You have to be careful about what you say. You have to have a sense of brotherhood. A sentiment that Martin Luther King was fond of is, true peace is not merely the absence of some negative force, tension, or war. It is the presence of some positive force, justice, goodwill, brotherhood. We've got to take a different approach to it all. In fact, he says that peace requires turning from evil and doing good. This is what Peter says in this. See, you can't simply turn away from evil and not turn toward good. You've got to go that direction. And if you don't do that and you just stay in the evil, then you just stay in the evil. Edmund Burke said that the only thing necessary for triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. What I'm saying is that the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is that we never turn. We just stay in the evil. We just go forward in the evil and stay there in the evil. You see, when you turn from evil, you will oppose it. And when you oppose it, you know what you'll be doing? You'll be going back towards your purpose. That's what you'll do. You'll be going back towards your purpose. You see, it is hard to know what is wrong if you don't know what is right. And when you realize putting myself in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ is right, and walking along with whatever he tells me to do, that's the right thing to do, then you know that when you're not doing that, you're going toward evil. And you turn around and you put yourself back in his hands. So, evil, you turn away from. Purpose, you turn toward. And when you do this, the crazy thing is, there's a lot of people would say, well, that could mean that you have less money or less physical pleasure or, you know, not as many people know who you are. You know what? Yeah, but you will have peace. So I ask you a question here, simple one. Is there peace in your heart? Is there peace in your heart? It's possible. It's possible. Just put yourself in the hands of God the Father. That'll do it. Pray with me.